Pulp Noir, The Time of Finding Things Out. Many solar cycles ago, as the small child of human parents, I learned about the world, my version of the world, in the usual manner, through sight, touch, smell, taste, sound, vibrations, by the ingestion of impressions through intake points of my body and its neurological complexities, by rearranging the patterns inside my head to match up with, and sometimes differ with, the ideas generated by thoughts and feelings, feelings and thoughts. One enormously interesting way of learning about my world was through the absorption of words, words composed of alphabet, and numbers, strung together and spaced in order to form sentences and passages and stories and essays, both true and manufactured. As I absorbed more and more of these words, learning how to distinguish fiction from fact, learning how to tell when fact was fiction, when fiction was indeed fact, I began to see how much fun it was and how sensible to toy with words, allowing them to exist as realities in my imagination, but never letting them force me to believe them. You see, I believed in their power, but I always knew the difference between reality and fantasy. Knowing this difference has formed me into the person I seem to be this day, a secular dreamer, a realist who knows how to operate the spigot, the valve that can be switched from hot to cold at a moment's notice. I am astride two worlds, living in the myth-based, superstition-driven, make-believe world most of us inhabit each day, and the real world, the one that just is, the world that operates as if human beings are a momentary figment in the passage of time, which of course they are. Once my feet were planted solidly upon these separate universes, I could get on with the process of living my life and deriving pleasure from the kinships and loves and ideas I most cherish, ignoring all the made-up stuff most folks spend their time obsessing over. Part of my early education came from reading pulp fiction, the kind written by visionaries and philosophers such as Ray Bradbury and Walter Gibson and Kurt Vonnegut and Aldous Huxley, and the hordes of individualists who emulated them in the soft and brittle pages of pulp magazines. Pulp literature was so filled to the brim with ideas and joys that a person could learn just about anything, and metaphor became the way pulp readers got through life. Understanding a good metaphor is worth 1,000 books, 1,000,000 words. Metaphor can take you by the hand, by the mind, and lead you safely through a forest of dragons any day. Want to know more? Well, come to my shop. Look at samples of the enormous selection of original, collectible pulp fiction on display at Read Books and the Museum of Fond Memories and the Library of Thought. Maybe in so doing, you'll find out that I'm full of useless whimsy. Or maybe you'll discover you too are a metaphor chaser, blithely tiptoeing past the potholes and explosives of life, experiencing joy despite all those whose task in life is to make you screamingly bored or miserable. Come along with me and eschew the obfuscating world.